One more video to go. I'm gonna go check out the questions here. The last one is about EMS pilot job questions. Don't see anything else new there. Still people hanging in there. The last chapter, there's 18 chapters of the book. This is the last one that we're going to do a video on tonight. Helicopter pilot EMS jobs. I had a gentleman a while back who emailed me a bunch of questions, so I went ahead and answered him with a video, and that's actual another chapter in the book Helicopter Check Ride. I did it for 5 years. Great experience. Glad I got to do it. So we're going to go ahead and roll that now so we can move on to other things. If you think of anything else while this video is playing, put them in the box, give us a share, and we'll see you after this video in just a few minutes. Having been an EMS pilot, I get asked many questions about the job. So I decided to add some of these questions to my book, Helicopter Check Ride. This is chapter 14. First question, can you tell me a typical day on the job as an EMS pilot? A typical day, you show up and talk to the pilot that you're relieving. The first thing you do, go down and pre-flight the aircraft. Get the aircraft ready to go for the day. Check in and look at weather. You have to have everything ready to go so that when that call comes in, you're ready. After that, it's pretty much watch TV, sleep, eat, read, get on the computer, pretty much whatever you want to do. If and when a call comes in, you go out to the helicopter and you fly point A to point B and try to transport the patient in the safest manner that you can. Next question, what was your favorite part of the job? My favorite part of the job, flying a $6 million aircraft. That was pretty cool. We had really good maintenance and good equipment. I worked for a really good company that I was actually proud to work for. So the favorite part would be when we got to actually go out and fly. And of course, the next question would be, what was your least favorite part? For me, that would definitely be the hours and hours and hours of doing nothing. No calls, no flying. The next thing that comes to mind is being watched over by hospital personnel that know nothing about helicopters or helicopter operations. Some of them want to dissect every move that you make and play armchair quarterback. We don't get involved with what they're doing in the back with the medical situation, but they all seemed like they need to get involved in what we were doing up front of the aircraft. Next question, what surprised you the most when you started working in the EMS field? Well, because I had a background in emergency services with the police department and fire department, there were a few things I had to get used to. When I first went to interview for the job, the base manager knew my past history and he said, this is going to be a little bit different. You're used to rushing the fire truck or rushing the police car. In helicopter EMS, we don't rush. We walk to the helicopter. We walk to the helicopter, we do a walk around, we climb in, we put our seatbelts on, we go through a step-by-step checklist to make sure that everything's good to go. Then when we're ready, we're going to fly from point A to point B as if we're hauling cargo. The company I worked at, they said, guys, basically, it's like you're hauling boxes of nails. Now, the people in the EMS side of things, they kind of have a hard time swallowing that because to them, it's a medical emergency. To us as the pilot, it's not. And if you think about it, this makes sense. The guy flying the aircraft needs to stay calm, needs to focus on the job. If he lets emergency get to him and come into play, he takes chances, he takes risk, and he skips certain operations that end up causing real problems. Next question. What are employers typically looking for when hiring people in this line of work? Well, I'm not an EMS employer, but I would say at this point, they're looking for qualified people. We know the Vietnam veterans are retiring and those jobs are opening up. So I'd say in general, can you do the job? Do you have the qualifications? There's another problem in the industry that is people faking time in their logbooks. And as everybody hears about the pilot shortage, more and more people are tempted to fake their time to get in and get the job. The problem is you need that experience. You need that time under your belt when you get into this line of work and have the experience necessary. So I would say good quality people that actually have the required experience, you need to do the job and do it right. Next question, what was the work schedule like? The work schedule was cool. We did 7 days on, 7 days off. We would work 7 days of day shifts. We'd have a week off, and then we'd have seven night shifts. Those 7 days did make the work week awful long, but it was sure nice having 7 days off. Biggest problem was switching from days to nights. They would say, well, when you're switching from days to nights during the week, just stay up a little later each night and sleep in a little bit more the next day to help you get your sleep pattern moved around. And that will help you get through your week. Me, personally, working nights off and on for years in all kinds of different emergency services, I don't think you ever get used to working nights. Our bodies are meant to be awake in the daytime and asleep at night. I think that's just the way it is. For me, the night part, as much as I like nights, it can be very hard on the body. Next up, what training and education experience is necessary and what can a person expect to spend to gain it? That's a pretty big one. pretty much across the board in general, you need about 2,000 hours of flight time. It's normally at least 1,500 hours in helicopters. That is in general. Any one specific company could be looking for something different, but I believe a majority of the time, 2,000 hours is the key. You'll have to be a commercially rated pilot with an instrument rating. To get that level of experience, it's probably going to cost you somewhere between $50,000 to $100,000 just to get the training. Then you're going to be a road dog for probably about 5 years, not making much money until you get to that EMS job. Which then brings us to the next question. What is the typical starting salary for someone in this line of work? Back when I started, it was 2008, and I started at $46,000. I would assume that the average salary probably went up, but I would say it's still pretty close to that range. Could be more, could be less. Just depends on where you're going to work and depends on the company. Next question. I'm not sure if you're up on the trends in this field since you're on to other things, but is the EMS piloting field changing? If so, then how? One of my good friends is a Czech airman for the largest air medical provider in the world. The big thing that he's telling me is the average pilot he's now training is in their late 20s to early 30s. That's a change he's seen over about the past 5 years, the pilots in general being much younger coming into the field, coming into the industry. There are other changes that are happening due to the national attention on EMS accidents and the National Transportation Safety Board, having to step in and make certain recommendations in certain areas. I would also imagine that a lot of changing as far as the use of electronic devices in the cockpit. We know at this point in the game that technology is changing very fast and aviation is adapting to a lot of new changes. Next question, what advice would you give someone who wants to pursue this as a career? If this is going to be your career path, I would say get your commercial, get your CFI and your instrument rating, get out in the field and start working. Do a good job, fly by the rules, and just know that your career path might change as you're going through this process. You may decide to go into the oil and gas with platform operations, or maybe you want to go into forestry. For a lot of us, our goals change once we get out into the real world and start working in the industry. But there's nothing wrong with that. At all. Bottom line is get your ratings, start billing your time, and make good decisions to be a safe and prudent pilot. And the last question for Chapter 14 from Helicopter Check Ride. Do you have to have a certain amount of turbine hours to get any job? When I got hired, I had around 350. The company I went to work for said, well, we usually hire guys with around 1,000 hours of turbine time. And I said, well, you know, that's great, but I really want the job and 350 is all I got. And that was darn hard to get that 350 hours. And the guy chuckled and said, well, we like to see 1,000, but it doesn't mean you won't get the job. And I did get the job and it all worked out. I know currently my friend that's a Czech airman told me they look at 1,000 hours of turbine time and 2,000 hours total. I asked him, I said, don't you think 1,000 hours is a little bit ridiculous when there's so many good quality guys out there that might only have a few hundred? And my Czech airman's reply was, well, it depends on the situation, what their background is, and can they waive some of those hours depending on the circumstance. So getting those almighty turbine hours is always a key pretty much in any industry as far as airplanes or helicopters. Moving up the ladder always requires turbine time. On an ending note for me in the helicopter EMS field, I got to do it for 5 years. It was a great experience. There were a lot of things I liked about it, and there was other things not so much. I'm glad I got to do it. I learned a lot of things that still help me to this day. And that is it. Let's see what else we got. 3 hours, that's long enough. It was 4 hours we did on Facebook earlier. All right, says there's 12 of you still here. I'm gonna call it a good night. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Hope you got some good information out of our live event tonight. Gonna be plenty more of those in the future. Enjoy doing this stuff. Subscribe to our channel. Give us a like. If you see this video after it's rendered, it will be back on YouTube. So if you're watching it later, it's going to be live on here for an extended period of time. That coupon code will be good for a little while yet. That coupon code again, you want to join our Helicopter Online Ground School membership. We have private, commercial, CFI. We have R22, R44, and instrument-specific sections you can add on. When you go to our site at helicopterground.com, right on the home page, it shows you our membership levels. You can check those videos out, check out the details. If you decide to go, when you decide to join our membership, click the appropriate button for the membership that you want. Go to the checkout page. Right hand side, about midway down, it says coupon box, or it's a little coupon box. Enter the code BR15OFF, BR15OFF. Click apply and that will give you your special code. Once you click that, It'll reveal the discounted price of 15%. So I'm going to get rolling. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks for the likes and shares. Subscribe to the channel. And we will see you in the next video.